North is IVAL. Unrivaled.org. Now, one of their wings is a Girard community involvement, culture, arts, music, that sort of creative thing. I think they do quite big creative events.
Yeah.
And there's another side to them, which is the articulation of the faith dimension. It'd be well worth linking with.
Mm.
And you will know more.
Mm.
You know, everybody will know something. They don't behave as if they know it all. They're partners in the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're looking through the Nurturing Hope curriculum,
right.
And that is just done with so much thoughtfulness, and it's really readable. It's thick. It's heavy, but that's why it's good to have different parts.
Is it on the process of translating into Korean, the book?
I think there should already be a Korean version. No.
Some sections are already in Korean.
Some sections are already done.
I think.
But it's not meant to be. No, I agree. The way things are going now, it's the last thing I've written with them. It took us about 4 years, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it's not meant to be a manual.
Mm.
Mm.
It's meant to be a resource, especially for people like yourselves who might be facilitating discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even meant to be a step one, step two, step three. It's more saying, here are some perspectives from a relationship point, organizational point, and societal points that we think are important.
Yeah.
But find your own way into this.
Yeah.
If there are a crowd of kids kicking football, let them have a conflict and then get them to sit down and explore where that conflict came from.
That's right.
This is not a how-to book.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I think that's what we overcame a bit with the Seeds of Hope.
Mm.
But we're going to try, as I said the other day, we're going to try and get animation and actors involved in scenarios in it.
Yeah.
But if you guys want to do some of that, fire ahead, and it's free.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. And let's get you a digital copy or.
Oh yeah, I can send you.
Yeah, I think we have.
We have.
He's a magician. I don't know what we're going to do.
I know.
You just say things and boom.
I know. We've been. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a treasure.
Yeah. Oh, don't tell him that.
Oh. I know. I know.
So Unrival would be worth to contact him.
Unrival.
I don't know where else to send you. They will tell you what their U.S. connections are.
Hmm.
I'm sure there must be some in San Francisco.
You have a connection to them?
Yeah, we have worked with them on a number of things. And
So they're actively engaging with the conflict situation?
They're actively engaging with, in the main, issues in American society.
Hmm.
Oh.
So dealing with race and poverty.
That's interesting.
And the need for political dialogue rather than taking up positions. No, they're mainly a US group. Working on US themes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Mennonite Committee, MCC, created a really good booklet from our friend Jess Buller about peaceful practices.
Yes.
And that's also been a great resource that we've been using for different congregations to just, again, give them resources, models, and ways to understand how we deal with conflict personally, and what does the scripture say. So that's been also a helpful thing. So I wanted to share the Nurturing Hope curriculum with MCC to see if this could be something that could be a resource for them. Hyun and I were talking about different ways, right? Just the theme of like translocality.
But I think this is like a criminal. We need kind of
a container.
The community, living out the value in our daily life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then ordinary people can see the hope. Otherwise, it's too much professional. Yeah. It's all the experts there doing the peacemaking work. We cannot do it.
I agree.
So this is, hope is in the kind of small group of people, the ordinary people. How are we gonna walk with them to live out
and honor their lives,
mm-hmm.
and our lives in day to day life.
Mm-hmm.
Not always insist that we do something special, because when we do that, we cut most people out.
Right.
So I mean, you should have this discussion with Jin. Jin is,
mm-hmm.
he's currently writing this new text on hope. And I think what we've learned at the end of Nurturing Hope, we've probably learned two main things. One, experience precedes understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about being
right.
together
right.
and working together,
yes.
out of which new understanding comes.
Yes.
Universities teach it the other way around,
right.
yeah.
and they're
I
crap.
Agree. I
they're
agree.
Crap.
Right.
And the second for me is hope emerges between us.
Mm.
When we nurture the soil, if you like, between us,
mm-hmm.
it's not a commodity.
Right.
It is something that occurs when people who have been in conflict
mm-hmm.
meet one another in a new manner.
Mm-hmm.
In mimetic terms,
mm-hmm.
meet one another in a space of peace or not desiring.
Right.
Right.
And I suppose we understood that somewhere, but to be honest, we didn't really articulate that strongly enough.
Mm-hmm.
So to say to those young people in the C group,
mm-hmm.
when you have a good weekend, they
mm-hmm.
say, oh, it was a great weekend,
mm-hmm.
I would like them to unpack it a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
The good weekend was a weekend because if there were conflicts, they were sorted. And if there was real openness between them,
mm-hmm.
they created something new.
Mm.
And that's something ordinary people can do
right.
when we meet in a new manner.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I'm tired of peace strategists, international peace conflict resolution experts.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's my worry about him going to Croc.
He won't be like that.
Josephina won me over last week.
And Josephina wasn't like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and she's been
yeah.
kidnapped and, you know, in
mm-hmm.
Bogota, and she
yeah.
knows it all.
Right.
And it's the same here. And it's back to the Collins and the Gordies. Those are just working class guys
mm-hmm.
who created a new space.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them now is a lead on mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Another is a lead on community relations.
It's amazing.
Another guy I heard, Nicky. Now Nicky is, he was one of the hardest guys to ever work with because he was so fixed in his opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very much an Irish Catholic nationalist.
Mm-hmm.
Then I heard yesterday, he became a very senior person
mm.
in the customs authority for the British government.
He's a traitor.
What was the girl's name today?
Grania from Newry,
yeah.
doing the PSNI course. Yeah.
So she's
loves Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
So we met her today for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and she shared with me, and I mean, we were walking around the wall, and
yeah.
she made me tear up. She said, Cormila, I've never seen a place like it.
Yeah.
And she said, I just have to be me. I don't,
yeah.
they don't demand anything from me. I can just be me. And she goes, there's no place where I could do that. And she said, I love Ireland. And she goes, I could not say that because I've had a really rough life. But she said something changed as
yeah.
I've begun to accept myself.
Yeah.
And Cormila was instrumental, and I thought, that's
yeah.
that's pretty helpful. Seeing a young woman who has been through systems, she says she was adopted, but she goes, I can't even tell you, that's not even the beginning of her
sure.
story. And so she was sharing a little bit, and she was just saying, I hated this place, and now I can't imagine anywhere else. And that love for her country, which is rooted in her love for herself
mm-hmm.
and where she was accepted, I think really mattered. So I thought that was just so beautiful
yeah.
today. That was a gift to hear her share that.
Yeah, she's quite, well, they're all exceptional, but she's made a huge journey.
Mm.
And she said, I don't know what we're going to do without Paul.
I think that's back to your theme. How do we create spaces where people don't have to fight mm-hmm. for their place?
Mm.
Yes.
And I think, I mean, all of those young people, almost without exception, I think they thought Seeds of Hope was a CV filler.
Mm.
I mean, and they can use it in their
yeah.
CV.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But a number of them have come out of that culture. Get another thing on your CV. So you want to go to university or go for a job, you're able to say this and this and this.
Yeah.
And my sense is that while it has been useful as a CV thing, they've moved to different spaces, is that not? You think that's what Gene is seeing in the feedback? No?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I would say some people would not come from that CV.
No, some don't come
from that. You know, Donnie or
yeah.
Frankie or... yeah, I know. I think probably the R-City, you know, the people that Sean was talking about,
yeah.
The ones who are already kind of trained in youth work and are looking to, I don't know, give more, I guess, I don't know, and then dropped out. I think they might have been looking for, you know, they were used to coming from that system of accreditation. And,
yeah. And we're in a discussion with that organization.
Oh.
Not about, you know, getting someone from a more appropriate background to join. We made a mistake.
Oh, no.
We, yeah.
For a pilot.
That's what a pilot was about, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think just seeing Frankie, I remember well, the first or second time we met at the Hooven Center, I told them about how you drove me around Belfast as we looked for the perfect venue for the first session.
We took notes of that.
Yeah, yeah, you were like, anyways, it was at this Hooven Center right at the interface with the Catholic and Protestant neighborhoods. But Frankie, this guy, he had said, basically, the example was, tell us about a time you trusted someone, because if you've lived this far, 20-something years, someone, you must have trusted someone, someone must have trusted you.
Good question.
And he was saying, oh, I mean, it was Derek's question, but he was saying he can't trust anyone. And then later on, we surprised him for his birthday in January at Corrymeela, and then he gave his father's pocket watch to Ruba.
Huh.
To show it to her. Ruba, the Sudanese woman, also said she's unable to trust anyone, so that's why they got along. But today, even if he didn't, he put immense trust in us. Mm. I mean, in people he had never met before. Mm. I felt trusted by him. And these were some of his close family friends who have known him since he was very young.
Yes.
Great.
He didn't even know.
So it was such a personal journey.
Yeah. So I think if we had turned out, you know, like there was risk I think he was taking by inviting people into his space and his mother and everything. He was probably, you know, there was no budget involved. I had asked Jean, you know, can we get a budget for this? And she'd said, no, there's nothing.
He was away out of limb.
Yeah. And I thought he did an amazing job. So I was really proud of him. I think that's a transformation.
He should maybe send his mom a bunch of flowers.
His mom said she got kicked out of Corrymeela twice. Not on your watch, mate. Or maybe it was under your watch.
No, she did. I know.
Oh, you know his mom?
No, I know.
Oh, I shouldn't say this.
No. There were some groups, which probably she was one of them. I didn't kick them out. I wasn't there. But that's interesting. Well, then we needed a journey. We need to bring her back.
Oh, yeah. I was saying she's welcome to come back.
Yeah.
He did a formal invitation to all the people who've been working with her.
Right.
And the Cregan. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
He got her address. Might send her a bunch of flowers.
That's right.
Why not?
Yeah, I'll send her some red poppies. It's the symbol of the
Is she a flowery person?
I don't know.
In her own way, yes. Fiery.
Fiery.
No, she is, because she was a community activist.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
I think she's been a bit mischievous since she was told to go. No. I think she belonged to one of the fierce women's groups. Yeah. Well, anyway, doesn't matter.
And we got to go into the Derry and Strabane Council chambers.
Right.
That's where we had one of the meetings.
And we got to use the speakers, turn it on.
He even brought ice cream inside.
He was eating ice cream. He's like, I can't bring it in. They're like, bring it in. The security, they were so kind.
That's fucking the guild hall, yeah.
That's great. I was trying to get Frankie. The one thing he hasn't done for me, not for me, but he had dropped out of his degree course.
Yes, he has shared.
Oh.
And I had fixed up for him to meet a hygienist in the university who would maybe sort him out. So maybe that's the next step.
Mm.
Because guys like that, universities need to be open to guys like that.
Mm.
And so often they're not.
Mm.
It's like these beasts, academics,
mm-hmm.
who use a language that nobody understands. They really are awful.
Wait a minute, you're one of
the... No, there's thousands of them making a fortune in the world.
I know, it's true.
And put them down in the street and they're lost.
Mm.
I think that's why conferences are organised.
Yeah.
It keeps them all in a safe
true.
Place.
It's true.
Airplanes and hotels.
It's true. It's Sorry. True.
Derek, you know, our organisation, Reconciliation, is 11 years old.
Great.
We've been searching... You know, this is, after 10 years, I think we need to refocus on something. So we've been searching for, you know, our next step. Next 10 years, what are you going to focus on? And then, and after I had the conversation with you, it was became very clear right now for us. So we're going to focus more on ordinary people.
On?
Ordinary people. And then small group of people, help them to get to be more exposed to the peace work, and then get more and more involved in the peacemaking work.
Right.
I think it's we need to, yeah. So next 10 years we're gonna focus more on this. So working with the ordinary people,
and help them understand that what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if they make mistakes,
right.
is the peace work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's this notion we have, we'll teach you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
For
mm-hmm.
God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
If you've raised a family
mm-hmm.
in poverty, or you've sorted out a neighborhood, or
right.
kept your kids out of gangs,
mm-hmm.
that's peace work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we've never honored it enough, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy for me sitting here. But I was a working class hero.
Mm-hmm.
I did live in a one bedroom. You know,
and you found the hope from there,
yes.
from the
yes.
the between the human
yes
the relationship
right
yeah, and certainly the street I lived on when I was a kid, thought it was rough, and there were nuggets of people,
mm-hmm.
people who were gold nuggets,
right
mm.
right,
who stitched people together,
mm.
yeah,
not
yeah.
stitched them in a gangster sense,
yeah
really.
Yeah.
Stitched people, kept the links
it's
going.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly my mum, her best friend was Kathleen,
mm-hmm.
who was Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the rest of the Protestant neighbours ostracised my mother. But my mother,
mm-hmm.
Kathleen was her best friend.
Mm.
And she stuck to that.
Mm.
And I think back, you know, it's probably somewhere in me that, yeah, because she, and she was, she wasn't even an educated woman. She just
mm.
she had to leave school at 13 and all that.
Right. Yeah.
No, I think it'd be great to create opportunities for, and maybe we shouldn't call them ordinary people, but it's about
mm-hmm.
it's about the day to day life.
Right. Everyday life.
Everyday life.
Uh-huh. Right.
And take it back from these academics.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's some academics can be very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The guy in Australia could be. Oh. I think this illness is hitting my memory. What's the guy in Australia? It'll come to me. We had him over here for a few days, or for a week or two. We did a report on paramilitaries.
Mm-hmm.
I've forgotten his name. And he's got a big, resource, peace education resource.
Oh.
If you looked up
Australia Peace Education.
Australia?
Campbell, Wilson, and whatever. Anyway, I had him in Corrymeela for a week, and he met a lot of groups from Derry as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there are really good people, and well, of course, the Letterer,
mm-hmm.
John Paul and Letterer.
Right.
There are these wonderful people who
mm-hmm.
help ordinary people make
yeah.
value their work.
Yeah.
Great.
We're also, some of our mentors is Ched Myers and Elaine Enns, who live in California,
yeah.
and they do a lot of work on reconciliation. They've written two books on reconciliation,
right.
and they're really helping to help Americans making reconciling with our watershed, kind of knowing our bloodlines, our land lines, and then our song lines.
Huh.
That's how they thread their academic work. And they, again, they also agree with you that academic world is crap. And so even though he wrote a, Ched wrote a commentary on Mark when he was 28,
what?
And became like just, he wrote from a political reading of
yeah.
of Mark, and but did not pursue, and has always stayed in this marginalized space of
activism,
and especially help equipping post-evangelical, you know, like who are just jaded with Christianity.
Hallelujah.
Finding space, and you would really like
mm-hmm.
Ched, but we've really appreciated his analysis with his wife, Elaine, of, you know, reading our landlines, recognizing what is the history of the land that we reside, or how do we even get here, and then what is our bloodline, right? Where are we coming from, and what are the stories that have been told? What's the trauma that's been passed down? And then the song line talks about the family that you chose, right? Or the resilience, the songs and the stories that kept you alive that don't come from maybe your bloodline, and really helping people to recognize the ecological, the landline, and then the trauma piece, and then also the indigenous piece. Because
right.
a lot of Mennonites also have this myth that,
yeah.
you know, they were good workers of the land, and they were given this land in Canada and in the U.S., and have ignored our history of indigenous people who've lived there. And so they're like, we got to reconcile that.
John Berthier is the guy.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Oh, you got it before he did.
What's that?
John
Braithwaite.
Australian National University.
He's the leading guy on restorative justice.
Uh-huh.
And he's wonderful.
Did we meet him? Is he Ched's friend?
John and Valerie Braithwaite. They work out of Australian
yeah.
National University.
Maybe.
In Canberra.
I don't think so,
yeah. We spent some months with the Maori community in New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
and they were on very similar ground.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So their whole approach to understanding peace and reconciliation was rooted in those themes that you talk about.
Yeah.
And they hung on tightly to, you know, who they were and where they were from.
Yeah.
And they did not want outside people, you know, imposing things on them. So there might even be connections there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And they even took it in. There's a Maori prison. The New Zealand prison system was a failure
mm.
at a certain point. And because there was a couple of Maori ministers in the government, they helped establish a distinctive Maori prison.
Mm.
All the staff weren't necessarily Maori, but they were mainly Maori. And it wasn't an easy place, but they were saying, unless we honour the hurt and all those lines that people have lived through, but also then challenge people, you know, we'll do nothing. So Dot and I were one of the first visitors into it. And it was that wonderful day where you saw these Maori prison officers confronting and challenging Maoris and really making headway. Whereas your normal Aussie white officer hadn't a chance. I mean, they were just blanked.
Mm.
And they had really made a possible space for some
yeah.
to move on.
Yeah.
Mm.
But the big thing the Mariners had was be the collective here. Which, if you do wrong in our society, you're pushed out. If you do wrong in a Maori community, you're kept in.
Yeah.
And they continue to meet and acknowledge you, even if you've left,
yes.
Even if you've disappeared. And it's like a weight around your neck to know that you will never get rid of your Maori inheritance.
Yeah.
It's like a tattoo.
Yeah.
But also that there are things to do with your Maori inheritance,
yeah,
that you can now embrace, which are about giving you life and possibility. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm
glorifying
it too much, but I did meet some hairy guys who had changed their lives, you know. So that would be great.
Ched Myers,
right.
Yeah.
Did you say Enns?
Enns, yeah, Elaine Enns.
Is that Naomi Enns?
Elaine, I don't know.
Do you happen to know Naomi and Doug Enns, actually, from
the Mennonites and
LCC in Lithuania?
Huh.
No, we know Fernando Enns.
Oh, I think they would connect with
A lot of Mennonites, they
have Enns as a last name.
Oh, really?
And Yoder.
Oh, yeah, you're, I see. Stafford.
Schenk.
There's certain names. Like,
right.
Well, Wilson. Naomi and what's that?
Doug
Enns. They were here a few months ago. They're running the peace course in Lithuania, which has Mennonites. They used to work for the Mennonites in the Middle East.
Oh.
And I think there was a bit of an organizational rift with Naomi, but they're still deeply Mennonite.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you might know them.
Yeah.
But that'll be another connection, and they're into very practical. Their course in Lithuania is full of Eastern Europeans, Russians, Ukrainians.
Right.
They're sending. I hope they're sending.
Oh. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're coming to the program next month.
Oh,
about a dozen.
We need to come back.
I know.
I think it's going to you as well.
Yeah.
But that's very encouraging of you. If you have that focus, practical.
I think that's what we're learning. I mean, I have a couple of questions. One is this generational, you know, we always recognize that in organizations there's like this fire of the first generation, and you know, and then but then like the second generation may not have that fire, right? What are some things that do you let just things die and help them to maybe resurrect something new, or do you pass the baton? If you have, how have you done it?
But also the society has moved on from the first generation to the second.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our first generation was a very violent society.
Mm.
And, my colleagues and I would have headed off to Belfast or Derry in the middle of the night to gather people in a minibus and bring them to safety. I would never want to live through those days again.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were under threat, and we were under threat, and we were the good guys in the sense of, you know, I'm still alive. There were lots of people involved in community work who died, were killed.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a sense in which our generation of Karimila was forged out of that history.
Yeah.
Whereas the next generation, thankfully, that history had receded a little, not a lot, but a little, and there was a different type of politics. I mean, even the churches were waking up to a challenge of reconciliation. So I don't know, I'm always tempted to say close shop and put your resources into the new generation and let them make their initiatives and mistakes. I'm not so keen on that now, partly because I'm part of that generation, but I do think there's a lot more can go on between generations.
Yeah.
I don't think we make enough of that.
Yeah.
Certainly Karimila has not made enough of that. We have local cell groups that are that have become cell groups for groups of 12 people. Historically, a number of them were very diverse, class-wise and background-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think most of them are
the same,
quite similar.
Yeah.
So we haven't paid attention to those intergenerational mechanisms. We've become a talking shop rather than an action shop.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, historically, there would have been people in your cell group who were victims trying to move life on and trying to have dialogue with politicians and paramilitaries. And in that same cell group, for example, in East Belfast or North, other members of that cell group worked with those people to try and make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So cell groups were very much places of active work and active reflection. And out of that, all these new understandings came. I think now it's partly the society's become sanitized, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have a political agreement, so everything should be hunky-dory, which is a load of nonsense. but we've gone easy.
Mm-hmm.
But I still favour some groups setting aside some of their money and running the risk that the next generation will make huge mistakes, but also might make huge breakthroughs.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think there's a space for established charities to designate some funds, even to give those funds to a newly established organization of its younger members and let them get on with things.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the thinking behind the Seed Group or the Seeds of Hope project, when it worked, that we hope we'll be able to place some money with them
mm-hmm.
eventually to do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And their own thing may not be what we wish,
mm-hmm.
but then what we did was not what, I mean, when my parents
older generation out, wanted from you.
My parents found out what I was doing, and they're saying, "You're crazy. You're putting this,
which
you're,
gives me
hope.
You're putting this all at risk. You're putting your dad at risk. You're putting, you know.
Yeah.
You're meeting who?
Yeah.
So I think it's two-edged.
Yeah.
But big organizations don't like giving their money away.
Yeah, we realized when we went to Korea, when Hyun took our son to North Korea, they saw us differently. From North Koreans saw us, they're like, "Oh, you're serious, you're bringing your son, like you're really thinking about,"
right.
and that we realized, oh, that is another intergenerational, you know, it wasn't, we didn't do it as a tactic, but we realized, oh, that helped them to see you guys are really committed for the long haul. And thought, oh, that's another strategy that we can use to say that this just benefits everybody along the way.
I'm Presbyterian, although I've never been to Presbyterian church for years now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an elder in a Presbyterian church. They just turned me off. So I'm very judgmental. But we sent our kids, our four children went to the Catholic school.
Oh.
Really?
30-odd years ago.
Ooh.
Which in those days was not what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And now Adam was here the other day. I mean, his kids have Irish names. Catholic friends are phoning him to get help with Irish sort of thing. I mean, and other kids are from Protestant backgrounds. He says, it's great, all our group is so mixed in Portrush. And that's partly because of the kids going to different schools. I mean.
Yeah.
And then we set up an integrated school,
right.
35 years ago,
yeah.
Which is now going to be the biggest school in the Portrush area. It started with 14 pupils, and people did not say nice things to us. So I do think you also create, you can create either structures, institutions, that give young people a new space,
mm-hmm.
An integrated shared space, or you actually create young adults who create those spaces themselves and
mm-hmm.
create new organizations.
Yeah.
And I just think maybe that's the big challenge in this society, except it's a time when money's very short.
It is.
But to create legal institutions that have a different set of vision different set of values that are about sharing and reconciliation. I think that's the next institutional task, and that is intergenerational.
Yeah.
I mean, my grandchildren are in primary three at that integrated school now. Their parents were at the school, or one of their parents at the school. And now my son is on the board of that school.
Yeah.
How do you build those?
That's right.
And I don't think it can be conscious. But I don't know what your society is like, but our society has been very closed. But it's now beginning to open up. And part of opening up is that younger parents are making different choices.
Mm-hmm.
And there are sometimes, there's sometimes the space for them to make a different choice.
Yeah.
And even through sports and arts.
Yeah.
Those are incredible vehicles. We ran a football club in Portrush when I left Carmina 35 years ago, 36 years ago. We couldn't run a boys' football club without, you know, negotiating with the sectarian leaders, you know, in the town. And there only were two or three football clubs, and they ran them. We started a new football club. It was Captain and Broughton. But it wasn't well looked at. But now in that town, every Saturday morning, 1,200 young people come together, about 400 every hour on a Saturday morning.
Wow.
And they all play football. And they're from all odds and sorts.
Right.
Girls as well. I mean, all, so it, you wouldn't recognize. I used to think football, but football is becoming an experience where young people from very different backgrounds, they assume that's what it's like.
True.
I'm off your point.
Wow.
But I think sport and culture, maybe, and art could be used more.
Yeah, that's...
I think Jean's using that in the summer learning journey. She's gone back to not just have a session on art, but have a session of music and culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, we're seeing that more and more as a crucial part of peace building. Yeah.
Well, we used to do it more, I think, in Corrymeela. I think legal requirements, God help us, and some others, legal requirements which need to be challenged, have closed some creative work down.
Mm-hmm.
It's closed camping down. It's closed, you know, paddle boarding and canoeing down.
Mm.
Because some lawyer comes and says, ooh.
Oh, I know.
So, in the closing down of those activities, legal people are making sure that this society doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we've got to claw that back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It's okay to go out paddling boarding if your instructor is the best qualified instructor in the world,
mm-hmm.
like Colin Craig was when he ran the centre.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you talking about? You know, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I'm rather not. But I love your thought of honouring the actions of people in the day-to-day life and saying what you've just done when you stopped that group taunting that kid, that is peace work.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go on a course to learn how to stop people bullying.
Mm-hmm.
You just stand with the bully and you stop it in some way. That's peace work.
Mm-hmm.
And think of what happens when a parent or a young brother is told what he's just done is bloody amazing. Yeah.
I like your word experiencing precedes knowing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I learned similar kind of terms when I was at Fuller Seminary. Ray Anderson, he passed away, but he's one of my, I really respect him, his teaching. He was a farmer, and he studied late. So he got his doctorate in 19, when he was 60, something like that. But what he said is, you know, ministry precedes theology.
Yes.
And Holy Spirit always goes, in Christian terminology,
yes,
goes first. And then we experience his ministry there. And then later, theology is reflecting on what happened there. And that impact my ministry. Right. And then what you said is totally, it's just, yeah, experiencing precise knowing.
And that's the life of Jesus. Mm-hmm. He took people on paths that none of them were prepared for.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were transformed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's another example. I would love us to.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to write a small little book with Duncan on, you know, the Girard thing applied to, you know, day-to-day theology.
Mm-hmm.
Because this bloody Bible, it's a lovely book, but
right.
what Christians have done to this book in so many,
mm-hmm.
you know, we make it untranslatable, we make it inapplicable, we,
mm-hmm.
and yet it's so fundamentally
mm-hmm.
freeing.
Mm-hmm.
If we could find ways to live without desire and conflict and scapegoating one another,
mm-hmm.
we would bring the new kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so bloody obvious,
mm-hmm.
but that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ray saw that. Now, Ray was not into Girard, I haven't a clue, but he saw that. I was able to work with him, I knew him before I went to university. But, you know, he saw that in the prisoner of war camp.
Mm-hmm.
And he always said, the men who came together, not necessarily who came to pray together, but the men who came together and supported one another,
mm-hmm.
who had that experience,
mm-hmm.
not only survived, but they kept their,
mm-hmm.
their thinking going.
Mm-hmm.
And those who were isolationist or
mm-hmm.
allowed to fall by and weren't engaged, weren't given those, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if somebody says that after 3 years in a prisoner of war camp, I'd believe them.
Yeah.
And yet we have these. I mean, my grandchildren, God, what they get in religious education in schools is absolutely awful. But they laughed at me yesterday when I said, I said my prayer. And said, Nanny and I are now praying much more regularly each night. We go, and they looked at me and they made a discussion about it.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been given this view of religion as a whole set of don'ts.
Mm.
Rather than an invitation to be.
Yes.
Mm.
Well, speaking of Mennonites, we have a good book, a children's book that came out called The Peace Table. And it's really trying to help children have the theology of peace at a younger age. And I love it. It's my favorite Bible. I don't know.
What is it called?
It's called The Peace Table.
I can't even do that thing.
Yeah, I know. I can't even.
You know,
I'll send it to you.
Yeah, I love that, though. It
yeah.
That's
great.
To be, rather than.
Right.
It's not a storybook Bible.
He finds it before I even have an opportunity.
No,
let me, can
see,
I see what,
yeah,
which one
these
it is?
These are wonderful.
That's
spaces
it.
That we can
the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mennonites, and I hope the thing about Carnegie is nobody can tell you what you have to do.
Right.
The biggest decision we made in Carnegie was we are not going to be formally linked with any institutional church.
Mm.
Mm.
Now, that was a hell of a decision to make.
I'm sure it was.
67 or that was.
Yeah.
67.
But actually, it was bloody brilliant.
I think it was brilliant.
Because Ray was, Ray was a Presbyterian.
Right.
The world thought highly of Ray.
Uh-huh.
The Presbyterian Church in Ireland thought he was.
Not.
With a few exceptions. And so they never made him a moderator.
Mm.
They only honored, they never honored him, even though, you know, others would, including the Irish government
mm.
and the British government. You know, Ray was that sort of quite humble guy.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, he was 80, and Queen's University offered him an honorary doctorate.
Mm. Mm. At 80?
At 80.
Oh, my.
And I think they only did it
wow.
because other people realized, this guy, why is nobody? And he was on the Senate of Queen's University. He was a chaplain there.
Mm.
I mean, he just obviously got him. It's shocking.
Mm.
Wow.
So Ray knew that in his gut. And he wasn't a theologian in the, you know, believe what I say sort of.
Mm-hmm.
He was very gentle. And he'd lived in a prisoner of war camp.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then he saw Dresden. And he helped pick up Germans and others mean, most of the people killed in Dresden were women and children on their way through on transit to somewhere safe.
Gosh, it's repeating itself.
And then we have these idiots standing, clergy who never got their hands dirty, telling us to believe in this gospel of fundamental belief. I'm finding this. I'm not looking forward to not having corn with wings.
How are you doing, Derek?
Today, not so well.
Okay.
Derek, are you a man of hope, or are you a man who is searching for hope, or are you a man who found hope?
I have certainly found hope through Cornelia. I've certainly found hope through working with a lot of people. Duncan's father, Ray Davey, but also victims and like Mary Kiley, Maura Kiley, her son was killed and she forgave people and she was a member of Cornelia. No, I have enough experiences to know that hope is a reality. Now, hopeful institutions or hope-filled institutions, we need to work more for that. The nature of my experience of hope is, I must say, it's more relational. Institutionally, when Cardinal works well, it gives me an institutional sense of hope. But times have despaired, like us all. With our organizations. Not sure how to respond to it. Just, and even at the moment, we've had a few bad nights too, but I'm not fighting with this illness. There's something about maybe we have still some time. Alan Dodd and I are, in that sense, going to use that time rather than fight with. And I think that's new for me. Normally I would have been fighting it. No, I'm not sure. I haven't crystallized. Your question is just forcing me to think about things. But I really do think, I mean, I taught restorative education, trying to get students and teachers to be more restorative in the ways they work with people. And the really good restorative process, in Girard terms, is that space where conflict is away, where people take risks, where people meet, where people expose themselves. Expose is the wrong word, but where people are really open and vulnerable with one another. And
you found the hope there?
Yes. And I've seen groups of young people change their way of being because they got opportunities. And even the eight young people I'm talking about are now in their 60s. I remember them when they were 17. I mean, sometimes they were the group from hell. and they became this wonderful group. That have stayed together for 45 years.
That's hopeful.
Yeah.
Now, people say those are, you say, namby-pamby there. But I think they are the grit.
Yes.
And Duncan would argue in political terms, when our politics is failing us, when our politics doesn't hold us to have respectful, engaged discussions about different views, when we put beliefs before relationships, that's all the hope we can have. I mean, Yeah, I think I was present, certainly had some experiences in Corrimila, and others had their own experiences, where people from very opposed positions took real risks with one another.
Unexpectedly.
And people would say, oh, that only lasts, it may only last for a few minutes, but it's a new experience out of which new learning might come. And I think that's what we've got to work for. And if I go back to my old Presbyterian elder history, I now think for the first time, that's what communion is for. Communion with this motley crew of people who also belong to the congregation and with whom we all have disagreements, fights, arguments, but with whom we also share fellowship. Is the whole part of the journey.
Yeah.
I'm saying that for the first time. Not sure whether that comes. Where are you? Are you a hope filled?
I don't know. I have a long story to tell you, but it's just, I don't think this is the...
Oh, go on, tell
us. Tonight is not the...
How about after we listen to some song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's, but it, and she also needs to take the rest.
Yeah.
Well, I know there's an Ulster Orchestra concert of professional musicians.
I know, you should have been down there, probably.
No. I'm no professional musician. I don't think I've ever played for Derek, actually.
Oh, is that right?
No, I was in the audience when you played once.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In the Cree, I think you played once.
Oh, was it in the Cree? Well,
anyway,
not in his house.
Yes, never.
I'm sorry, Dot will be really angry that she's missed it.
Oh, no. But,
I should record this.
Oh, no. Well, I think originally I was hoping that Hyun plays the guitar.
Oh.
And Sue has an amazing singing voice that I just discovered last night in the Cree.
Come on, guys. Record this piece.
No. Oh, gosh.
I do have pressure record
on me, but... Let's see. Maybe we can also sing...
By the way, John and I were in tears after your
show. Yeah, I'll play something first, but...
Okay.
You were in tears.
These three.
Oh, I heard.
I think you'll know this one. I think you had lived in Edinburgh.
Oh, my daughter lived there.
You had almost moved there yourself. Never. They're coming this weekend.
I think so.
Emma and Kate. Yeah. I don't know if this is Scottish or Northern Irish, but.
Scottish or an Irish one.
Yeah, you know that one. Dawning of the Day.
Okay, that's good. So when she comes, I can play the right notes. You know that one? Karen said a melody to that one.
Well, you're going to have to play now. Why don't we welcome her with the song?
Hey! Hey! Here's an encore you didn't
see. Encore! Should have been done with the orchestra. Could you hear her from outside?
You look lovely.
I just said, I wish Doug was here. They've just played two songs. We've got a powerful discussion. But now he's going to replay them for you.
Encore,
oh, I am.
Encore.
Okay. So are you all right, you guys?
Don't replay
them. Oh, yeah.
We're just look into it. I'm going to show you what we were
listening to. Oh, gosh.
Tonight.
Wow.
Do you recognize any of these?
I recognize most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was...
How was it?
It was all this. It was great.
Is it a big turnout?
450.
About 500, I would
say. Wow.
Oh, I didn't
Which
know
is
that
good
were,
for Ballygossip.
I know, I didn't know that
for
people
anybody.
Were I heard Eleanor Duff was there.
And the Ulster Orchestra like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
So it was good. It was lovely.
So how do I record this? Come on.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I could.
Yeah.
You can give it to me. No. Is it locked?
Is it? I think you can just probably, yeah.
There you go.
Wow.
You okay, my darling?
Thank you for the biscuits, as always.
Yes, thank you.
Not at all.
Yeah,
okay.
Good.
Okay, I'll have to play the right notes this time. This is good. Okay.
I'm not a connoisseur, so.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Before and after.
team effort. Oh, yeah. Team effort.
We had some wine, but then we realized one of you was driving.
She just drove from Derry and back today.
So would the other two like some wine?
I'm okay.
We
had a lot of...
So what were you going to say, your man?
I'm the only one who liked wine.
Are we going to sing now?
So
do you need the...
Wonderful singing voice.
No. We'll sing a Korean.
Korean song?
Arirang aka.
Hollo
arirang. If I could read it without my glasses. My reading glasses. I'm at that age now. That's real. But we could. This is a song that we... Hyun, do you want to share a little bit about the song? Why you sing it or where you sing it?
I sang this song when I went to North Korea. They have a karaoke. So when I sang this song together with study song, and then North Korean people, they came up to the stage, and we all together, and we sang this song together, and then we cry. This, you know, the, can you explain?
When was this?
This is several years ago.
So you were still able to go?
No, after COVID-19, it's all...
But he's been there 6 times, different occasions.
So 2000, right before COVID-19, I went there. 2019, December 2019? Yeah, I went there right before.
And we don't even have a lot of shared songs anymore because a lot of them are have some political implications. So this is Arirang is a Korean phrase that's not really translatable, but it's a song. And there are different variations of Arirang. And this is the one that you do sing in Korea, right? In North Korea. I don't even know how to explain this. But basically, the refrain is... Let's go together, and let's go over the hills, and
even though it's tough,
we can rest along the way.
We could rest along the way, and then hold each other's hand, and then let's go. Let's continue to walk. So that's what the song is about.
And it's I love that it's not just let's go, not just 같이 가자. Mm-hmm. But 가보자.
Yeah.
Almost like, feels like...
Let's try.
Let's give it a shot.
Nice.
Let's see. Let's...
Yeah.
Let's try. Let's do this together.
Aimed at North Korea and South Korea together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And so as they are drinking the
this
Korean...
This song is from actually South Korea. But it's one of the few songs that North Korean people allow to sing.
So we'll sing it kind of fast because
experience before understanding. We'll
sing experience before understanding.
You can start then.
Okay.
Yeah. 모르 티를 모르 할까?
어. 자, 자.
너 두 하나
치워.
너 먼저 봐.
저
저 멀리 동해바다 왜 That's our folk song.
It's a good marching song.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes,